Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to be reading verses 19 and 20 of Matthew chapter 28. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Father, we pause a moment longer in prayer to reinforce the fact we are depending upon you to adequately minister to our waiting souls this morning. Make your word sure and true in the kind of expression that gives us direction, eternal direction. In this good hour we pray. Amen. Another rendering of these verses we have just shared this morning goes like this. Go, he said, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And trust me to see things through. One writer has said regarding the dilemma of our day, this is no time to fool around. The time has come to get with the Lord and to go with him. Briefly and clearly, he cuts to the major issue of our society and provides a proven answer. The world is searching for answers, fooling around, if you please, occupying itself with a thousand lesser considerations that could be resolved if, number one, they would get with Christ, and number two, if they then would go with Christ. Get with him. Go with him. Both issues are basic, but there is a difference in getting with Christ and going with Christ. Let me try to illustrate what I mean. Most of us enjoy meeting famous people. Now that is, if we are honest, we admit it. And there are crowds who always gather around famous people. When I was a boy, I was a great sports fan. And I remember traveling with my family and being in the Shoreham Hotel in Washington, D.C. one day. And I was by myself in the lobby and walked out into a garden patio area they had there and found a rather familiar looking fellow sitting by himself there in that patio area. I worked up all my courage. I was just a kid. Went over and sat down by him. And then mustered all my bravado and said, aren't you Casey Stengel? That was back in the days when the Yanks were always in first place. You know how long ago that's been. But what a thrill that was for me as a kid. Soon others gathered round, and the rest of the time they were there, there was always a crowd around Stengel and all the Yankee ball players. Things haven't changed much. Kids, I guess, are pretty much the same. This summer while we were on vacation, we checked into a motel near the Astrodome in Houston. Saw quite a few reasonably young, athletic-looking men around the lobby. And I saw another little boy, about the same age I had been, only this time it was my son. Suspicious, wondering, watching. Sure enough, the Atlanta Braves were staying there. Didn't take him long with pen and paper in hand to harass them until he had the autographs of most of the team. They moved out, the Los Angeles Dodgers moved in. He was back to work, haunting the lobby like his dad had done years ago. We left Houston, gone a day, came back, checked into another hotel, and on our floor in that hotel, we thought there were rather large people living on the floor we were on. So we made inquiries. Yes, these are large people. These are the Houston Oilers. They're staying here in preparation for their game with the New York Jets. Paul was back to work. He haunted the lobby. They were so kind to him. Maybe when you're in last place, you can afford to be kind. I don't know. One day I missed him, couldn't find him, went down to the lobby and couldn't find him anywhere. Then I noticed, sauntering out of the drugstore, there was Paul with a friend. His friend was a giant black man, 6'6", I'd say, about 260 pounds. His name was Toady Smith. He's Bubba Smith's little brother. There they were, walking hand in hand out of the drugstore. Paul looked over toward me and said, "Toady, that's my dad. I'll have to go now." Toady said, "It's all right, little brother. I'll see you later, Paul." And there they were. He loved it. In fact, I do not think for some time he will probably be too responsive to preaching on heaven. He already thinks he's been there in that week with the Braves and the Dodgers and the Oilers. It was a great time for him. I noticed a lot of older people pressed around the ball players too. Kind of want to be identified with those who have attained popularity, sometimes notoriety. People like to get with those who are famous because I guess maybe it makes them feel important. I don't know. But these same people, though they enjoy being near those who have attained greatness perhaps in the eyes of the world, they are not usually willing to do what it takes to become great themselves. They're willing to try and let the goodness and the greatness of others rub off on them, but they're unwilling to pay the hard work price of greatness themselves. Fact is, people like to get with Jesus. He never had trouble drawing crowds. But when Jesus laid down the conditions for going with him, the crowd soon disappeared. He was famous. He was a novelty, and people wanted to get with him. But going with him, that was another matter. And I don't really think things have changed very much at all, for there are still those who want to be near Jesus. So they attend church. And maybe they even give token service to him. But to really go with him, oh no, don't count on me. Why? Because he demands too much. Going with Christ is demanding. But it is the only relationship in life that is absolutely and utterly satisfying. The experience is worthy of the demand. Yes, it's one thing to get with Christ, but it's something else to go with him. It demands something. Going with Christ, first of all, demands conversion. You have to be born again, the Bible says. And there are always those who want to dabble in both worlds. They want a religious form for the sake of propriety, but they do not want conversion because they do not want to change. And when you are truly converted, when you are truly forgiven for your sins, when you have confessed and Jesus Christ has come and forgiven you, there is change. Some are in the world's mold. They've been conformed to the image of the soft, the pushover. They don't really want to do anything that demands anything of them. I was talking with a public official one day. We were discussing various items of mutual concern. He started talking about religion in general and how people can be duped into believing some of the non-biblical religions. And I said to him, in our framework of Christianity, we demand conversion as the only acceptable form of salvation, because this is what Jesus demanded. It isn't just taught. It isn't inherited. It is an individual experience. Going with Christ, first of all, demands conversion. And the world is being misled and not following the dictums of God if they believe there is any other way to really go with Christ. Conversion, number one. But going with Christ demands something else. It demands cleansing from the sin nature. If you're going to go with Christ very far, you are going to come to a crisis experience in your heart and life where you're going to be made aware of the fact your heart is not pure. You are going to see your need for something that will make you holy. And the motivation for it is in the words of God himself, for he is the one who said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now there are many who retreat from this demand, but the Bible is consistently insistent, if you are going with Christ, then you must be cleansed by the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. There's a new wave of preaching about the Holy Spirit. But beware, for some will teach filling. Cleansing from such, turn away. For such a doctrine is scripturally and experientially inconsistent. You can't have power without purity. The two are interlocked. I was interested to read the words of Dr. Akingay, who commented on the many references to being filled with the Spirit made these days. He gave this warning. Many talk about being filled with the Spirit, but if you talk about filling, you must also talk about cleansing. Now that may not be so popular, but it's part of going with Jesus. And if you would not only get with Jesus, but would go with him as well, he not only demands your conversion, he demands your sanctification. But going with Christ demands yet something more. Going with Christ not only demands conversion and sanctification, but going with Christ demands growth. You know, I wish adult Christians were just half as interested in spiritual growth as children are interested in physical growth. Have you ever known a child to be happy with their age or their size? You hear them say things like, "I'm almost 5. Have you ever heard an adult say, "I'm almost 40? children say, when I get big. Or they'll say, when will I be big enough to ride a bike? Or how much longer will I be little? It's just the nature of children to be dissatisfied with their physical progress. It's the natural thing. It ought also to be the natural thing for those who are babes in Christ, children in Christ, to be dissatisfied with their spiritual growth. A holy dissatisfaction with yesterday's accomplishments. A determination to exceed today's attainments. Growing in grace. Growing in all virtues. For going with Christ demands growth. So that there will be an end to pettiness. The false piety to an argumentative nature, to a judgmental spirit, to negative attitudes, a spirit of envy, of pride, or of littleness. When will we grow up? Oh, it's true, sanctification rids us of the carnal nature, but it is growth that gives us the continued strength to withstand the devil's temptations to fall back into some of those same old traps. That's why going with Christ demands growth. And if we are not growing Christians, then we better look to be sure we're still going with Christ. But he demands one thing more if you would go with him. Going with Christ also demands a duplication of his activity. He told us, in fact, in his own words, that we would do more than he did. Greater works, he said, you'll do them. Greater works than I've done, you're going to do them. And we think he means by that more in number, not greater in quality. We ought to do more because hopefully we'll live longer. We'll do more toward carrying out the Great Commission, the life force of the church, because rapid transportation enables us to go out and bring in people on a church bus and get them here. Radio and television allow us to cover the globe if we have the vision to do it. It's possible for us to touch more lives than Jesus did. It's not only possible, but he said, if you want to go with me, then you're going to have to go with them. Go to them with my story. Well, what was his story? If we're going to duplicate the works of Jesus, then what did he do? Well, Jesus was a witness. He witnessed to God the Father. We have to duplicate his activities. It's only natural that we should. Jesus was a man of prayer. He was a man of discipline. He learned a trade. He learned the scriptures. He learned to endure pain without complaint. He was no grumbler. And he was unspotted by sin. And I believe this morning that even this aspect of his life is attainable through the cleansing power of his blood. We don't have to live in sin. We can live a sinless life even as Jesus lived. We can do his work. We can duplicate his activities this morning if we have him. If we're really going with him. Why don't we just draw the lines clearly and admit that this is no time to fool around. This is a deadly, serious age. And I ask you this morning, are you going to get with Christ? But beyond that, will you also go with Christ? If you will, He demands conversion. He demands cleansing. He demands growth. And he demands duplication of his work. And if you'll go with him, you won't be sorry. And neither will those you may influence for Christ. But beware, I think it's only fair to tell you, if you go with him, he may take you farther than you planned. But it's okay. Because he said, no matter how far I take you, I'll go with you all the way. Trust me to see things through. In recent days, I was talking to a Kansas City area businessman. He said to me, you know, you kind of remind me of my son. He's a minister also. I would say he's about your age. He went on to tell me about his son. Quite a boy. He said when he finished school, I set him up in an automobile dealership. And really, you'd have to say he had the world with a fence around it. He said he did so well that within 2 years, he paid me back, insisted on doing it, every dime I had given. He really had it made. There's only one thing wrong. He wasn't happy. One day, at age 28, he came to me and said, Dad, I appreciate all you've done to help me, but I'm going to get out of the automobile business. His father said he figured he was going to go to work for a high-powered New York City advertising agency that had been after him for some time. And consequently, he said, well, son, if you feel you'd rather be in the advertising business, that's all right with me. But he was astounded by his son's response. For his son said, no, Dad, that isn't it. I feel God wants me to be a minister. And I'm starting seminary in the morning. In the morning. And he did. And now, a few years later, serves as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, if you're going to go with Christ, be sure you're ready to go as far as he wants to take you. If you do, you'll never be sorry. His dad couldn't altogether understand it, although his dad was a religious man. But he said to me with tears streaming down his face, he said, you know, I don't know altogether understand about you guys. Everything he could have had. And now he's so happy. So happy. Happier than he's ever been in his life. Just ministering to people who have need. What happened to him? Well, I don't know the man, but I think I can tell you. He really got with Jesus Christ. And a miracle happened in his heart and life. But he said, I'm not going to just
you? Are you really going with him this morning? Are you making disciples? Are you living up to his demands for your life? Are you sharing his ministry? How can I do that? Well, if the Holy Spirit has not already led you in particular ways to do that, Reverend Olson advises me that we still have many openings for those who would like to be in some form of ministry in this church, helping in Sunday school classes, Caravan Children's Church. Here we go again. But there are still openings. And if you don't think that kind of work is important, you're wrong. It's all part of going with Christ. Let me remind you that because a Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball cared enough to share Jesus with his pupil, D.L. Moody, D.L. Moody was led to the Lord. In turn, D.L. Moody shared Christ with F.B. Meyer, who helped change the lives of Robert G. Lee and J. Wilbur Chapman. J.W. Chapman influenced the life of Billy Sunday, who in turn inspired a group in Charlotte, North Carolina to conduct a revival meeting. And the crusade was led by an evangelist with the unlikely name of Mordecai Ham. He preached for souls. One of the seeking souls who came to Christ in that little meeting has today preached to more people than anyone else in the history of preaching. We, of course, know him as Billy Graham. Yes, we must take our task seriously. We must make disciples. We must share what Christ has done. For who knows what new hero of the faith may be locked within the heart of that boy. Just waiting for you to speak the name of Jesus and tell of his saving power. Have you been with Christ? Are you now willing to accept his demands and go with him? To make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything he commanded and trusting him to see us through. Let's not only get with him, but let's go with him. And let's start going today. Would you stand with me for prayer? We invite you to remain standing following the prayer for the choral benediction. Father, you have come and ministered to us through your Holy Spirit this day, and we are grateful. We ask that you would make these words that you have brought to our ears today, make them live, make them living words from the living Word. Help us not to be able to set them aside, but to incorporate them into our lifestyle until we will be willing to go with you wherever that adventurous path may lead. We go with you now.